Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
So when's the last time you lost your temper? What's funny about a room like this is when you ask the question, when's the last time you lost your temper, there's two different reactions. The minority of you and me think, I don't know. I'd have to really think about that, the last time I lost my temper. The majority of us, including me, which time was the last time I lost my temper? If you're a guest today, my name's Trey Kelly. I'm the pastor here. Temper. Woo. Anger. It's a struggle. It's a struggle for many of me in the room. I'm going to assume many of us in the room. Have you ever noticed when you lose your temper how your feelings change right after you've lost your temper? Like leading up to losing your temper, and even while you're losing your temper, you feel confident. You feel like this is justified. It's like a freight train has taken off and you can't stop it, and you're just going to solve the world's problems. And then you actually lose your temper and you look around and you see the carnage and the destruction and you feel embarrassed and you feel ashamed and there's tears and you're just like, man, why did I do that? It's a weird thing that happens. And I was thinking about that this week. I'm like, so why do we do it? Those of us, again, I'm in the room here, that struggle with anger and that lose our temper, like why do we continue to lose our temper? And the answer is simple and painful, because it works. Because when we yell, the kids stop fighting. Because when we get to that point, we can get our employees to move. We can get strangers to move. But here's what we all know. All of us know this about that moment. We know that it's a counterfeit win, because we know that even though we got the short-term solution, short-term progress, that we have created long-term damage, that we have broken a relationship. But for people who struggle with anger and controlling their anger, this is a cycle that we don't tend to know how to break. And I today believe God can help us overcome that struggle. Today we're continuing a series we've been in now for, this is week four, called Over It. And if you're a guest, this series is built on the premise that we all have people in our lives that are difficult to deal with. We all have people in our lives that can be a struggle. And the natural tendency can just be to say, man, I'm over it. I'm done. I'm done with those people. But God wants better for us than that. And so for the last 4 weeks, we've been diving into his truth to discover what that looks like. And so if you're a guest today and you've kind of missed part of this series, or if you're watching online and you've missed part of this series as well, I'd encourage you, if you don't have it already, grab our app. You can download it from the App Store, because all our content is there. And so you can go back and you can catch up on weeks 1, 2, and 3 of this series, because we've really learned some amazing things over the last few weeks. Number one, we've learned that we can be set free from the people that set us off. We can truly be set free from those moments, and not set free from them like we're done with them. We can be set free to love them the way God loves us. We can be set free to truly be helpful and hopeful in that situation. How do we do that? Jesus told us week 1, we look inside, we begin with ourselves, and we understand this truth, that if I want to be set free, the path to better begins with me. It begins in my life. It begins in my heart. But it doesn't stop there. For the last 2 weeks, we've talked about, once we've asked Jesus into our lives, we've started to figure out how he can help us. We then look around, because sometimes in relationships, we really aren't the problem. Other people are the problem. Addiction is the problem. Dysfunction is a problem. And for the last 2 weeks, we've talked about that path to better, that a better path is actually going to require better boundaries. It's going to require us understanding what is and what isn't our property, what is and what isn't our responsibility, and standing strong in that. And today, I kind of want to begin the process of kind of tying the bow on this series over the next few weeks. Because here's the reality. We can create the best, strongest, most healthy boundaries on the planet, and we can enforce them perfectly, and we can still find ourselves over other people. Because boundaries are only part of what God requires of us. Boundaries are only part. Boundaries are only external. There has to be something that we're continuing to do inside our own lives, which is why for the next few weeks we're going to talk about how a better path also requires a better process. A process by which we invite the God of the universe into our lives to continue to make sure there's nothing in us causing us to feel over other people. The reason I say this is because when we started the series, week one, many of you were here, we looked at Jesus, and here's what Jesus told us about how to even begin to engage difficult conversations, difficult people. Here's what he said. He said, first, get rid of the plank in your own eye. What he means is, first, deal with the issues in your own life, and then you'll see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. Then you'll be able to help your friend or your neighbor with their issue. But he said, first, get rid of the plank. Get rid of the struggle. Get rid of the sin. And when he says the sin, he means all sin. And so as we go back to this verse today, I want to remind everyone in the room, and I'll start with myself. I sin every day. And so do you. We all do. We have struggles. We have issues that continue to pop up. And what Jesus is saying is, hey, if you want to truly be set free and learn how to love other people, you have to continue to implement plank patrol in your own life. To continue to look in and to see what is going on, which is why we're saying a better path requires a better process, a process of constantly inviting God in to say, okay, where am I struggling today? What are my issues today? What's the plank today, Jesus? And what can you do to help me be free from that and help me be healed from that? Because see, what Jesus wants to do is he actually wants to change us from the inside out. And if you grew up in church, there is actually a word for this process. And the word is sanctification. I know, it's a lot. Sanctification, it's two Latin words put together. And the two Latin words are facare, which means make, sanctus, which means holy. Sanctification literally means to make holy. This is the process that happens when we become a Christ follower. As we become a Christian, God wants to come into our life and change us from the inside out. I know for some of the room today, maybe you are not a Christ follower, and you're here just kind of checking out the things of God. This is what awaits you. God doesn't just want to promise better. He wants to create better from the inside out by changing us and molding us to become more like his son, so that we can have the faith his son had, the love, the compassion, the mercy, the joy. That's what it means to be a Christ follower. And that's what it means when we keep saying that a better path requires a better process. It is a process of plank patrol, a process of daily inviting God in to say, all right, where's my struggle today and how can you help? It keeps us humble. It keeps us focused on ourselves. It keeps us from judging other people. And so what I want to do starting today for the next 2 weeks is I want to focus on two planks, two struggles, two that I think are the most common that push us to be over other people, or that push other people to be over us. And the one I want to talk about today, we talked about at the very beginning, anger. Specifically, how can we be set free from our temper? How can we be set free from those outbursts? We all agree they're not helpful. We all agree they do more harm than good, but we still struggle with it. So how in the world can we move forward? Can we be set free? Can we repair relationships? Can we mend fences? Can we build trust when we can't even control our own emotions, and we can't even control our own temper? Well, that's the problem of today. And luckily for us, our loving, gracious Heavenly Father solves this problem. And he solves it through his process of sanctification. He says, hey, if you trust me and if you let me, I can change you from the inside out and we can get rid of that anger. And you say, well, how do we do that? And he says, well, it's actually, I've got a practice for you to adopt. And if you adopt this practice, you'll make space for my process. And I can help you. And I can change you. And I can set you free. And we actually learned this practice from probably one of the most unique Christian stories we have. This person came to Christ, came to Jesus, came to faith in a way none of us in the room have become Christians. I'm talking about a man named James. James was a leader of the early church, but James had the unique privilege of being Jesus' little brother. Just let that sink in for a minute. Can you imagine growing up with Jesus as your big brother? See, James did not exhibit faith in Jesus. He didn't believe in Jesus until Jesus died and he came back to life, which makes perfect sense. I say it every time. There is no greater for me proof that Jesus is who he says he is than that his little brother went around telling the world he was the Son of God and he was perfect. And you know what happened? He saw his big brother die and come back to life. And when you see your big brother die and come back to life, you say, you know what? Mom was right. You are perfect. I give. And he became a leader in his brother's church. He spent his life ensuring that men and women discovered the truth that his brother died to give them. And like several of those first leaders, those eyewitnesses to Jesus, he wrote a letter to give people instructions for how to put this better process into action in their lives. Because they didn't know how to follow Jesus. They didn't know what he wanted. And so what we believe is that when James wrote this letter, the Holy Spirit was speaking through James. And so we can read this letter almost 2,000 years later, and it's as if the God of the universe is speaking to us. And in this letter James wrote about how to become more like his big brother, he addresses anger. And here's what he says. He says, hey, I've got a practice for you to adopt. But he doesn't stop with the practice. He says this practice is going to make space for God's process so that he can change you from the inside out. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to open them to James chapter 1. That's where we'll be, James chapter 1, starting in verse 19. And if you don't worry, we're going to have it up here on the screen. Because James begins this passage with an interesting phrasing. Here's what he says. He opens up and he says, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. It's as if he's saying, hey, I really need your attention right now. I need you to log off Facebook right now. I need you to mute the television. You know what? Let's turn the television off. Let's not even pause it. Just turn it off. I need your undivided attention right now because what I'm about to say can change your life. He's saying you're going to have to think about this. You're going to have to figure this out for yourself. You're going to have to implement this. I want you to understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. I want you to really think about it. And he gives us a practice that we can adopt when we feel the blood pressure rising, when we feel the anger coming up. And he's saying, I really want you to think about this. I really want you to understand this. I want you to get this right because it's going to make things so much better. And here's what he says. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry. I don't know, some of you, you're like, that's it? That's the practice? That's the life-changing advice? But think about it. Think about it. How often have you actually lost your temper only to find out you misunderstood what you lost your temper over? Isn't that always fun? When it's all over, you're like, oh, that's not what you said? My bad. And so, practically speaking, what James is saying is, hey, guys, be quick to listen. Be quick to just say, whoa, whoa, am I hearing you right? Is this really what's happening? Is this really what's going on? Is this really what's happening in this moment? Is what I'm feeling matching up with what's actually being said? And while you're being quick to listen, he says, be slow to speak and slow to get angry. And he ties the two together, slow to speak and slow to get angry. Because he's not talking about the emotion of anger. He's talking about the expression of anger. And he's saying, hey, be slow to do that. Be slow to speak that anger, because that's where we cause damage. That's where we cause the things we can't take back. How many things have you ever said in anger that you now regret? Lots. And so what James is saying is, hey, just be slow to speak and slow to get angry. Be slow to speak that anger. Do you know why? You know what I've never regretted once in my life? I've never regretted something I didn't say when I was angry. I've never finished a fight, made up, and been like, you know what? I'm diving back in. I had one more thing to say. Like, I don't do that because it's over. And all James is saying is, he's saying, hey, hey, adopt this practice. When you feel the anger, just what would happen if you decided to be quick to listen? What's going on? Am I hearing this right? Is this really what's happening? And while you're listening, be slow to speak that anger. Be slow to express that anger. Be slow to take it out on the other person. Be quick to listen and be slow to speak that anger. That is the practice that James is bringing to us today. And think about it. That would make life better, wouldn't it? If we could all just learn to take a breath, be quick to listen, and be slow to speak. But here's where the God of the universe and Jesus and Christianity sort of stands out and above all other religions, in my opinion. If we just stop with the practice of be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry, that's something we could all do. And we could modify our behavior in that way. That's behavior modification. But see, our Heavenly Father is interested in something better than that. He's not interested in behavior modification. He's interested in internal transformation. He literally wants to change us from the inside out. That's why when Jesus was on earth, he didn't say, don't act selfishly. He said, don't be selfish. Because he wanted to remove the selfishness from you. He doesn't say, don't act greedily. He says, don't be greedy. Because he wants to change us from the inside out. And so this practice, while a good beginning, isn't meant to simply help us deal with our anger. This practice prepares the way for God's process to heal our anger, to remove it, to clean it out, and to set us free. And the reason that it's better to go for transformation rather than modification is because James understands the same thing we've already talked about. James understands, and here's what he says next. He gets, human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. You know what that means? Human anger doesn't work. It doesn't produce the results we want. It produces short-term gain and long-term loss. You know what that means? Loss. Short-term win for a long-term defeat, you end in defeat. That's what anger produces. We know that. We've experienced that. And James knows that, which is why he's saying the practice is the beginning, but the practice isn't enough. The practice helps prepare you for a purpose. The practice isn't the purpose. Because your Heavenly Father loves you too much to allow you to keep just dealing with anger and managing anger. He wants to heal it. He wants to set you free from it. So you be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry while remembering what God actually has in store for your life. And here's what that is. He says, so get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives. He's copying his little brother. His brother says, get rid. James says, get rid of. Get rid of what? Filth and evil in your lives. Now, don't miss what James is doing here. He is saying the anger in your life is caused by filth and evil. Now notice he didn't say it was all evil. Filth and evil. Sin and pain. Sin, things we choose. Pain, things we feel because someone sinned against us. And he's saying that pain, that filth, that sin, that evil, that's what's causing the anger. And if you actually want to be set free from the anger, you have to deal with the cause. Now, I find this fascinating because James was writing almost 2,000 years ago on the other side of the planet under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, mind you, who created us. And what James says 2,000 years ago, modern psychology has now agreed with. Modern psychology labels the vast majority of anger we experience now the way James just talked about. They label anger as a secondary emotion, which means it's not the primary cause of what's happening. It's how we reveal what's happening. When we get angry, there is usually something deeper inside of us that's actually happening that's being pressed, and anger is the way we express it. Think of it like this. Think of an iceberg. Okay, think of an iceberg, because the iceberg, there's the tip of the iceberg, which is above the water, but for an iceberg, there's always much more below the surface. And in fact, what's below the surface is much more dangerous. If you've ever seen the movie Titanic, you know, it wasn't the tip of the iceberg that took the boat down, it was what was underneath. And so what we've discovered is that that's how anger works. Anger is the tip of the iceberg. Anger is what we see. Anger is what is expressed. Anger is what is felt by other people. But the vast majority of the time, anger isn't the primary problem. The primary problem are all these other issues, all these other struggles that are below the surface, that we have fear in our life we haven't dealt with, anxiety, that we have hurt and pain in our life we haven't dealt with. We feel helpless. We have frustration. We feel sadness. We have all these issues that we collect through our lives, and they just build up and build up into the iceberg of anger. And here's the thing we all know about icebergs, but we miss about anger. Icebergs only hurt if you get too close. See, that's the danger of our anger. Have you noticed that it comes out the most freely with the ones we love the most? You know why that is? Because we internally decide the consequences are too high. Because if we lose our temper at work at our boss, we could get fired. If we lose our temper with the police officer that gives us a ticket, we will go to jail. But you know who can't do anything? The kids. Your boss didn't give you the promotion. You've been disappointed about it for 2 weeks. The iceberg builds up. And the kids pay the price. Your spouse pays the price. Because they get close enough to the iceberg to touch one of those underlying issues. And James understood this 2,000 years ago. Because he was writing under the inspiration of the one who created us. And here's what he says. He reminds us, guys, human anger is not going to work. It's not going to produce the results you want. So if you want to solve it, get rid of the filth, get rid of the evil, get rid of the pain, get rid of the hurt in your lives. How do you do that? He tells us, you humbly accept the word that God has planted in your hearts. For it has the power to save your souls. You accept what God has offered. You invite him in to do the work of healing you and changing you from the inside out. How many of you guys are familiar, don't raise your hand, but I know you are, with Microsoft Word? You guys use Microsoft Word. I'll use Microsoft Word almost exclusively. It's what I write on my messages on. I write everything on. Microsoft Word has a feature that I love. It is the find and replace feature. You can tell it to find a word and replace it. I used to do weddings. I don't do weddings anymore, but I used to. And this was a really valuable feature when you do a wedding because I would use the same outline. But strangely enough, people want their name said at the wedding. And so It's crazy. They want their name said, not the last person's. And so you would find the name, and then you would replace it with the other person's name. And it was amazing. I used it all the time, find and replace. That's sanctification. Your Heavenly Father wants to partner with you to find the pain, to find the filth, to find the evil, to find the sin, and replace it with His truth. Replace it with His promise. Replace it with something that can be trusted. And that begins by inviting Jesus in and becoming a Christian and placing your faith in Him. And then the process of sanctification happens as we read His word and as we pray to Him and as we sing to Him and as we sit in church and learn new lessons and as we spend time in our small groups and as we understand that there are things in us that don't match up with what He wants for us. And we invite Him in and we humbly accept His truth and we allow it to be planted in our souls through trust, through faith, through belief. And once it is planted there, it does what all healthy things do when planted. It grows. And as that truth grows in us, as our hope grows in Him, you know what gets pushed out? The pain and the hurt and the filth and the sin. It gets pushed out. And what we are left with is less of us and more of Him. That is the process of sanctification. And if we want to be set free, not only does the path to better begin with us, it must return to us over and over and over again because a better path requires a better process. A process of daily saying, all right, God, I want what You want, not what I want. God, I am disappointed by this. God, I am scared of this. God, I am troubled by this. I'm going to come to You, and I'm going to trust what You say about it. That's what it means to be a Christ follower. That's what we do every week as a church for every area we struggle with. And today, that process applies directly to our struggle with anger, our struggle with our temper, our struggle to overcome that part of us. And what James says is, hey, I know it doesn't work. You know it doesn't work. We all know it doesn't work. And there's a process in place to heal it, but we need space for that process. So the space we're going to create is through a practice. And the practice is this: when you feel the tension rise, my prayer for you this week, this month, this year, and for the rest of your lives is that you will give God's Holy Spirit permission to whisper to you in that moment, to remind you of this practice that begins with these four words: be quick to listen. Just be quick to listen. Be quick to listen to yourself. Be quick to listen to the other person. Be quick to listen to your Heavenly Father. Be quick to listen and say, what is going on here? And here's what I've discovered about this challenge and this practice of to be quick to listen. It is the most loving thing God could say to us in this moment. Because here's what I know as a sufferer of losing temper tantrum moments. I do this. Some of you do this. Here's what I know about me and I know about you. We are trying as hard as we can to fix it. We beat ourselves up about it. We want to get better. We don't want to lose our temper. We don't want to be angry. Nobody wants to be angry. And we always look inward and say, I got to try harder. I got to try harder. Don't miss what our gracious Heavenly Father says. Don't miss what the first step is. What He asks us to do costs us nothing. What He asks us to do requires no energy whatsoever. He says, listen. He doesn't say, go work harder. He doesn't say, go figure it out. He says, just stop. Just listen. Just rest. You're losing it because you think it's all on you to fix the world's problems. You're losing it because you see this. Just stop. I'm in charge. Just rest. Just be quick to listen. And if you remember what James said, what are we quick to listen to? The word He has planted in our hearts. We don't even have to do the planting. We don't even have to cultivate. Humbly accept what God has already done for you and wants to do in you and wants to do through you. Just be quick to listen. Because when we are quick to listen, our Heavenly Father will speak. Okay, this is just the tip of the iceberg, this anger. What's really going on? And your Heavenly Father will reveal it. You are upset about the loss from last week. You are upset about this. You didn't get the promotion. You feel like you were cheated out of this. You feel like this happened. And then you get to say, all right, God, what do I do with this? You ask, He'll speak, you trust. Hey, I know you're disappointed about not getting that promotion, but I've got something better planned for you. I just need you to hold on a little longer. Just trust me. Yeah, I know it frustrated you what happened in the car, but what you don't know that I do know is that that person was having a worse day than you, and they were just trying to get here, and they didn't even see you. You thought they were upset. They didn't even notice you, man. Just let it go. Just let it go. See, when we're quick to listen, and God can identify the icebergs underneath the pain, and He begins to heal those. You know what happens? Our iceberg anger begins to shrink. Which means even when people get close, it's less painful. Even when bad things happen, it's not as bad. Especially when we remember the last three words. Not only be quick to listen, slow to speak. You know what happens when we're not slow to speak? The words we speak out of our hurt create new icebergs for our friends and family. We take our pain and it becomes their pain. And you don't want that. I don't want that. We don't want that. God says, I know you don't. You want better, I want better, let's get better. Adopt this practice. Just be quick to listen. Just be slow to speak. And let my process work in your life. I am with you. I am for you. I died for you. And I want to fill you with love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. I'm here. I'm ready. I'm in. And all I need you to do is stop. That's it. Receive. Trust. Accept. And I promise you, I will change you from the inside out. That's what our Heavenly Father says. Can you imagine a world in which everyone agrees to be quick to listen and slow to speak? Let me help. Can you imagine a world when everyone takes that approach with you? Wouldn't that be better? Can you imagine a world where that is just the status quo? Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry. Cable news would have nothing to do. Our Heavenly Father says, hey, you want to live set free? You want to restore relationships? Adopt this practice. Make space for my process in your life. And what you'll discover is that you will stop being over people. Because this process makes us more like Jesus. And He has never been over any of us. And so this simple practice, these seven words, can set you free far beyond your wildest imagination. So my prayer and my challenge to you this week, dream about what could be, but determine that it should be. Ask God's Holy Spirit to whisper these seven words in your mind and to give you the courage to practice them. Humbly accept the words that have been planted in your heart. Trust them and watch as He fills you, as He heals you, and as He changes you. It makes it easier to find the good and better in every relationship you have. Let me pray. Oh, Father, we love you so much. We are so thankful for your Son, and we are so thankful for his love and his wisdom and his power to change us. God, I just pray today that we leave here encouraged and inspired to adopt your practice, to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and to make room for your process to take place in our lives and hearts. May we rest. May we accept your truth. And may we be changed by it. We love you and we are so thankful for your Son. It's in his name we pray. Amen.